Chapter 16, the utmost emptiness. The state of utmost emptiness is the condition of the candidate who has cleansed his heart of all impurities. In other words, he has emptied the magnetic system of the sternum of desires, tensions, and conflicts. Such a candidate has become desireless, empty, and in this condition he can sustain an unwavering tranquility of soul. The equilibrium of his soul can no longer be disturbed. He is safeguarded forever against change, for he has attained true peace as one of the characteristics of the people of God. If the state of utmost emptiness has not yet been reached, times of soul tranquility will always alternate with moments and periods of soul conflict, which prove that the magnetic system of the blood, and hence the heart and the soul nucleus, is not yet completely pure. So one of the most important tasks for a pupil is to trace the inner causes of his soul conflicts. These causes are always to be found in his own self. Never, under any circumstances, can they be caused by another person or by something coming from outside oneself. The fivefold soul being is an organized whole that receives whatever is necessary for its maintenance in keeping with its nature. Whatever is drawn into one's being with the aid of the magnetic respiratory system is invoked by the being itself. In many pupils, there is still too much of a tendency to want to serve two masters. Too much emphasis is placed on earthly things, which are still too often seen as necessary. There is still too much desire for things on the horizontal level and too much acceptance of things. The result is that one goes on belonging to two worlds. On the one side, there is that something of the gnosis which is active in you, and on the other side, there are earthly things which are given priority when they shouldn't be. This only intensifies the conflict with the other one. In addition, it perpetuates one's susceptibility to the restlessness that characterizes the whole of ordinary nature. However, if you had reached the state of utmost emptiness, people in the world would, of course, still be able to attack and wound your body, but they could not touch your soul. The whole gamut of soul conflicts could be going on around you to lead you astray, but you would no longer be tempted by them. Your entire soul state would have entered the peace of the people of God, and all your vital fluids would have become immune to variability. Your consciousness would perceive and experience everything, but the equilibrium of your soul could no longer be disturbed. That is how it ought to begin. Then any wounds people sought to inflict on you would simply rebound on them. You would enter the state which has been known throughout history as the heroism of the soul. To be a hero in that sense does not mean to be courageous or unafraid of death, but to have entered the new state of being. Imagine how it would be if someone you loved very much were to do something terrible to you, and that your soul were to react against it by entering into conflict. This would be proof of the existence in your soul of tendencies or causes that had allowed such a conflict to develop. But if you had reached the state of utmost emptiness, you would, under the same circumstances, understand what caused the outer situation so fully that your mind, your will, and your heart would no longer feel any urge to hit back. You would only observe the situation in the sense of being on your guard. Your purity of heart would protect you absolutely, and your soul would be free. The preceding brotherhoods called those who had reached this state of utmost emptiness pure ones, and we hope you will now realize the full import of that expression. When one sees it being used, one can be sure one is dealing with transfigurists. This purity of the heart, this utmost emptiness, forms the foundation for the whole process of transfiguration, because it brings the soul state into the spheres of that eternal peace, which is of the gnosis. Once you have entered the peace of the people of God, once you have been born into it, nothing can threaten you any longer. And from that moment onwards, the kingdom of God can be proclaimed within you. and that means it can be realized within you. At the moment, the kingdom of God is still being proclaimed to you, and you are standing at the gate, but as long as you do not go in through the gate, your soul state will always be prone to variability. It is important to realize this, and that is why Lao Tzu reminds us that all things are born together. I see them return again. All things flower abundantly, then each of them returns to the source. He is reminding us of the way things are in dialectical nature. Everything comes and goes and comes again in an ever-recurring cycle of growing, blooming, and fading. Dialectical things come to you from a certain point of departure, and then they leave you again to return to that point of departure. The logical consequence of this fact is that you will not be able to free yourself of soul conflicts and soul turbulence. These too come and go only to come again until the soul becomes so tired of it that it becomes numb and lapses into indifference until the whole thing ends in sickness and death. The nature of one's soul conflicts may change in minor ways with the passing of the years. When one is young, one does things in a different way than when one is old. But in essence, the predicament remains the same. If, with considerable trouble and pain, you succeed in struggling through some conflict situation and in driving its causes back to their source, the only result will be that the source will immediately start sending those same causes back to you again. That is the signature of the nature of death and of everything that lives and moves within it.
The ordinary human being can never free himself of it. His being is not safeguarded against variability and change. That is why he needs to return to his own source, which is the Adamitic state. And it is not some part of him that must return, but his whole self. His entire microcosm must return to the immovable kingdom, the source of the beginning. Only when you return to that source will your soul be at peace, and only then will you rise above the interplay of changes. Your soul will transfigure, the new soul will be born. Soul transfiguration is the first necessity, because life proceeds from the soul. That is why the Bible is so full of references to the salvation of the soul, and that is why Lao Tzu says, "To return to the source is called being at peace. To be at peace is called returning to true, eternal life. To return to life I call being everlasting. To know what is everlasting is called being enlightened. Not to know what is everlasting is called bringing about one's own misery. No one can really understand what is revealed to him from the universal doctrine unless the gnosis has touched him. If you have approached the school of the Rosy Cross out of a genuine inner need, longing for the gnosis with all your heart, you will have been moved by the current of the Gnostic plenitude, which will have been drawn into your system via the magnetic respiration of the sternum. Such a touch enlightens one's understanding. An enlightened person is someone who lives in the touch of the gnosis. He knows because the nature of life imparts not only power, but also wisdom. As long as you have not been enlightened by the divine nature, you will go on bringing about your own misery. That may sound harsh, but the truth of it is undeniable. Day and night, you will be forging a continuous chain of causes and effects amid the interplay of change. Hence the conclusion, a conclusion that reverberates like a song of songs, a cry of triumph. To know what is everlasting is to have a great soul. A new soul. The new, enlightened understanding is always proof of soul rebirth. Having a great soul, one is just, not according to the law of this nature, which is subject to change, but according to the eternal, immutable, fundamental law. Thus, the transfiguration of the soul must be followed by a total, structural rebirth. In this way, by being just, one becomes a king, one becomes a priest-king of the original realm. One enters the mystery school. Then, being a king, one is heaven, and the all, the totality of the divine nature, is realized, so that, being heaven, one is Tao, one becomes one with it. And being Tao, one is everlasting, one enters eternity. Even though the body dies, there are no more perils to be feared. The body is a phenomenon of the old life, to be laid aside when the right time comes.
This imperishable, incomparable salvation is made possible by the rebirth of the soul. That rebirth is the key to your eternal happiness.